Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email us your audio story if you'd like to do that on your mobile device, and I see more people are doing that. You just email it. I'm just going to send it directly to you.
Okay.
Because I keep forwarding them anyhow.
Sure.
So, Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can send us that audio file if you'd like to record it that way. And it's kind of fun because it eliminates a lot of the issues that we get with cell phones these days.
Right.
With you know, it's kind of funny. Back in the 90s, I remember the commercial, I think Whitney Houston was on it, about the new clear AT&T mm-hmm. and how everything was going to be just so crystal clear and amazing. Well, that shit went out the window when she died, I think. They're like, well, we don't have to hold it up to Whitney anymore, so we might as well just drop all call quality whatsoever and go back to something even worse than analog. But I don't know. Sometimes it's like, I just wish phones would just, it's not going to work, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Not just like, anyway, maybe someday that will be resolved and Whitney Houston will come back from the dead. So it's going to happen.
Okay.
It will happen. It'll be in the next season of Walking Dead. So today, right before the show, I did a little Facebook Live session, and that means we're recording this on the 2nd of May. And if you want to look back on Facebook, you can find the session. I did it with whoever showed up for it and showed everybody how we made the graphics for the show. Because
uh-huh.
a lot of people ask, like, how do you make the spooky graphics? And I just kind of went through and I guess kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit. I don't know if that's good or bad sometimes. I remember like touring radio stations when I was a kid going, really? You don't tally up the votes for the top 9 at 9? That's how this works? This is, you just play whatever you feel like playing and that's... But I showed the kind of a base graphic, and then how I make or figure out the fonts or pick the fonts, and I let the our listeners or our viewers help kind of make the graphic for today's show.
Oh, that's fun!
Called I Survive. So if you want a behind the scenes look at how that's all done, that's up there on Facebook Live for your viewing pleasure. Let's go off to our first caller of the day and hear a ghost story at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, Briskies. Hey, calling in because I just heard a story about a ghost that liked to say somebody's name. And similar story is the fact that Mrs. Brewski was saying that it's nothing more terrifying than hearing your own name. Well, I would agree with that. And then similar to that experience I had is I was at first of all, I cleaned carpets. And so I go to a lot of places, but this one in particular was an office building that had only one office. There were three other offices there that were vacant, but it had the one that I was cleaning, and it was up a stairs behind a gate, and the last person had left a half hour before I, after I got there. And so she said, you know, just go ahead and lock it up when you're done. And I says, okay. So I got started cleaning carpets, and you know, of course, you know, you're going by yourself, you know, it kind of gets lonely, you know, no music, no nothing. So anyway, so I called a friend of mine that I had just recently gone up and seen about 3 hours away, and I called her up, asked her how her husband and her kids were doing, asked her about, you know, how, and she said he got a job. I asked about her brother that had just recently moved out on his own and gotten a roommate, asked how it was going, and all she said was, just goes, not good, you know. You know, he got into a fight. His roommate had to move out, and so he was she has to look, her brother has to find a different roommate. And so I was like, oh, that's too bad, you know. And so he's so as I'm cleaning, I started to feel like I frantically looking over my shoulder, just like, what's going on? So she goes, oh, I gotta get going, the baby's crying. She goes, I got to take care of stuff. I was like, all right, catch you later. I get off the phone, and like 5 seconds later, I hear this old man's gruff voice sitting across, like he was sitting in the chair, and he says to me, so how's Dan doing? And I look over in that direction. I'm like flipping out, and I go, and I threw down the stuff, and yelled, ran out. And the strangest thing is I asked how her brother's roommate doing. I never said the person's name. But somehow, whatever ghost is there knew who the roommate was and asked me how he was doing. And even telling the story, I still get chills because I'd like to know how that happened, but I cannot figure that one out. So, but yeah, that's another one. I don't know how it happened, but it did. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
Wow.
The eavesdropping ghost.
And it makes you wonder, did the ghost know that he was visible, that he was going to be heard? Or, you know, I would imagine if I was a ghost and I'm there, just present,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily intending to interact with anyone, and you probably after a while get used to people not hearing or seeing you, I would still probably interact for the sake of not going nuts, if you can do that.
Uh-huh.
When being a ghost, I'd probably still sit there if I was there and be like shooting off questions. And then I'm wondering if like this is going on quite often, and then just every once in a while you have something like this where the dimensions kind of intermesh or whatever, and then you get to hear this and it happens that way. Or was it like a really important question? I'm kind of leaning more towards it's just they're always doing this, and every once in a while we get a little sample of it.
It just comes through.
That comes through.
See, I thought maybe they saved up their energy to ask important questions.
You could go that way too. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I don't think we ever will. It just keeps digging more and more deep into that subject of how is this, and it probably just varies. It's a, you know, I think a lot of times we try to classify ghosts think this way. It's like saying humans think this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's some pretty different thoughts out there. And I think the same in the ghost world too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's go over to Dennis in New Jersey. Dennis, hi. Let's hear your story.
How's it going? My name is Dennis. I'm from New Jersey. I just want to say you guys do an awesome job. I just started listening, and it's just been really interesting to hear some stories. Always been into the supernatural and ghostly stuff. So my story is a very positive one, something that I always tell my friends and my family and something that's close to my family. About a year ago, I was having dinner with my family. I came back home from school. I go up to school at Seton Hall University, and I just live 40 minutes from the school. So I went home and just out of nowhere just to get dinner with my parents and my sister and my grandmother. And we're all eating dinner, having a great time, you know, nothing, thinking about nothing but good things, actually having a good meal, you know, my family and I are known for, you know, having little bickers here and there, and surprisingly we were really, really really positive and having good energy. And at the time, my grandmother, who was about 90 years old, she never ate, never drank any alcohol or anything like that. She's Turkish. She's from Turkey and didn't speak any English. And, you know, I saw her and she was just eating a lot of food for some reason. And my mom actually offered her a drink. And my sister said, no, it's too cold. She might not want it. It's cold outside. I said, and I mean, she didn't understand English, so I told her, hey, no, don't worry about it. You know, you don't know how much longer she's going to be around. Let her have a good, you know, sip of mom's drink. And so she enjoyed herself and had a great time, and, you know, she seemed really well. And but for some reason, you know, there was something that I felt like something off. And the next morning, I normally sleep in on the weekend because I'm always, you know, studying during the week and up till 4 a.m. every day. Studying, and so I always sleep in on the weekends, and this was a Saturday, and surprisingly enough, something made me wake up at 9 a.m. in the morning. And my grandmother was telling my father, she was sitting in our living room, and she wasn't feeling well, and she told my parents that all night her back was hurting her. And so what happened was she ended up kind of not feeling well. We called the ambulance, and she unfortunately passed away the next on the same day as she wasn't feeling well, the day after our dinner, which was so great. And and, you know, me saying that you don't know how much longer she's going to be around really, you know, stuck with me, because I had no idea what that, you know, saying that the next day she was going to pass away. And another crazy thing that went along with that was the day of her funeral. It was sunny, there was no clouds, nothing. But as soon as we were lowering the casket into her grave, clouds rolled through, the wind was ridiculous, and starting pouring rain. And I don't know if it was my grandmother crying or sending us a message saying, you know, with all the sorrow that was going on, or, you know, in Turkey, actually water means happiness. So maybe she was saying, you know, be happy and you know, be strong for me, because she was pretty much the most important person in our lives, and the first person I ever lost in my life. And it was just strange because the clouds and the rain came out of nowhere. And it was just, I mean, unbelievable, because the priest, the Muslim priest was just singing and saying the prayer in Turkish. And it was just like a movie. He was yelling the prayer and singing it. And it was just so strange. The wind got stronger and stronger as he was saying the prayer. And, you know, a few months later, my mom was staying for some reason in my grandmother's room at my home, and for some reason in the middle of the night she wasn't sleeping. She told me she heard my grandmother tell her "Özledim," which means "I miss you," and she said something on the lines of "I'm okay" and "I love you" in Turkish, which was you know, something interesting. So, you know, I know it was long, but I really hope you enjoyed the story and hope to hear it on the podcast. And you guys do a great job, and I'm glad I could share my story with you guys. All right. Have a good one.
Dennis, thank you for calling in and sharing that that personal family experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. That's so interesting with the weather sometimes, how that seems to have a role in comfort after someone's death. Now, of course, anyone can argue, well, it's, you know, it's luck, it's phenomena, it doesn't happen to everybody. But some cases, it's just so strange how these sort of things will pop up. For example, the one that I can most recently think of was right after Prince had passed away. Literally, I mean, it wasn't even a photoshopped image or anything, because I did a little snooping on that. And there's a rainbow that came basically right out of his house, the way the perspective looked on the picture, and then off into the distance. I mean, and then if you look at, you know, historically, well, how often does this happen? Not often, ever. You know, there's strange things that happen that really cannot be explained. And you wonder, is it a sign? Is it them? Is it something else greater than all of us that's trying to give comfort? Or is it just a complete coincidence and this happened to add up at the right time, right place? I don't know. I kind of go more so in the everything happens for a reason category. We just may not always know what those reasons actually are. Dennis, thank you again for that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802, toll-free number. Or you can also email the story to Jenny. Jenny, it's J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to record your audio file and send it that way. Or you can go through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And write in your ghost story. Jenny, by the way, not in the studio right now, because during that last call, we got a wonderful phone call going, little one's sick, you need to come pick her up at school. So, rest of this episode, probably just going to be me. This is how our life is. This show, we don't have employees, we don't have, you know, anything else. It's me and Jenny doing this thing, so... When we say, you know, your support helps us do this show, your support truly does help us do this show. We try and keep the overhead as low as possible so we can live our life and we can do our show with you guys and have a good time. So being an EPP goes straight to allowing us to continue doing this show for you. Unfortunately, though, with us operating at this level, it also requires us to go pick up sick children sometimes. So 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Caitlin in California. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Caitlin from Southern California. I'm sitting in traffic right now, so I hope it's not too loud. But I'm a music therapist, and I work in hospice. So I go in, and I visit with our patients, and I know a lot of music from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, so it's just really nice because it's songs that they'll remember. They bring up memories attached to those songs, and we talk about them, we sing about them. It's really nice. So I wanted to share with you guys just something that happened to me like a month ago. I had this patient. She was definitely one of my favorites. She was so witty, so fun to talk to, very funny. She was all there. And whenever I visited her, I would stay in her room for like an hour, and we would just talk and joke, and she'd make me laugh, and we'd sing songs, and it was just really nice. She was really nice to spend time with. So one day, you know, I was walking to her room, and I was thinking, oh, I get to hang out with her for like an hour. It'll be nice, nice part of my day. And I got there, and she was kind of slumped on her couch, which was kind of unusual. And I greeted her, asked her how she was doing, and there was just something not right, I could tell. She just wasn't herself. Something was off about her, and she was just, I can't even explain it. It just wasn't the same person almost. And, you know, I pulled out my guitar, and I asked her if she wanted to hear this one song that we used to sing together. And she said, "Who's that lady?" Or, "I don't like that lady." She kept repeating that. And I was like, "Well, what lady? Who are you talking about?" And she pointed to the corner of the room. And obviously there was no one there. And so I just said, "Oh, I don't know who she is. Can you describe her for me?" And I was trying to get out of her what this lady looked like or who she was. And she just kept repeating, "I don't like her. I don't like her." And then she kept asking me, "Do you like her? Do you like her?" Just over and over again, no matter what I tried to like divert her attention with, she would not stop talking about this lady. And I told her, "Well, I don't know her. I have no opinion. I'm not going to judge her or something." Like, trying to kind of be funny about it, but she just kind of wasn't having it. She was just kept saying, "I don't like her." But she kind of had a smirk on her face at the same time. It wasn't like, she didn't seem scared or anything like that. It was just very interesting. And she wouldn't get off it. She wouldn't get off the subject. And so, you know, I kind of wrapped it up with her because I saw I wasn't getting anywhere with her. I told some of the nurses at that facility, and then I immediately called my team, my hospice team, and told them that something was not right with her and that RN should come out and do an assessment or a check, something like that. And of course, I listen to you guys so much that I'm thinking, well, she's seeing something, and the first thing that kind of came into my mind was, like, is this the angel of death? And I know that's horrible to say, but, I mean, I'm around death all day, every day, so kind of on my mind. And the next day, I got word back that she had had, like, two or three strokes and was bleeding and things like that. And I think a day after that, like 2 days after I saw her, she was unresponsive. So I went and visited her, and she was, you know, not able to be woken or anything. And so I just sang her the song we used to sing together and talked to her family and, you know, consoled them and things like that. And she passed away the next day. And, you know, the more I think about it, I think it was someone or something in that corner of that room. And she kept saying she didn't like her. So I really don't know what to make of it. But, I mean, I do believe that there was something in the room with us that maybe was asking her to come with her. I'm not really sure. It's just, you know, just something interesting that I think about a lot. So anyway, thanks for listening to my story. I love the show. I hope to hear my story on the show sometime. Sorry, I kind of rambled my first time calling. All right, have a great day, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Caitlin, for sharing your experience with us. It's one of those stories where, you know, you could really argue either way. The skeptics could argue any way you want. I mean, and really science could as well. I mean, was this hallucination after a stroke? Was this something else? It's one of those things we really do not know the answer to. As a whole, on that very topic of someone near the end and them starting to see the dead almost showing up, sometimes there to help usher them through, sometimes just there, and we don't really know who or how or why. I think you have a mixture. I think sometimes it is simply the mind shutting down. It's what our minds do. And then sometimes you have definitive things happening that only are communicated and would only be known by that dead person. That is, we've had that sometimes where some sort of message is brought to the dying individual from a deceased loved one that maybe someone else in the room knows, but the dying did not. Only the deceased had knowledge of. So how would this person who is dying suddenly have knowledge of said topic? We've had that before, and that those are the situations that really lead me to believe that not every time is it always just the mind shutting down and its hallucinations. There are several times where, in fact, I believe there's something, someone that's coming back. In this case, it's hard to know for sure. But I don't blame you for thinking that way. I feel the same way when if I'm ever in those situations, if I'm visiting a loved one or a friend or somebody who's there, because I've seen that too. I've heard that too. The same sort of things happening. Very, very common. So thank you for sharing that that experience with us. And it's a blessing that she had you there, you know, towards the end to relive some of those memories and have that engagement in music, because it does. It's such a powerful thing. And to have a music therapist coming by to be able to share some of that and let her relive some of those positive memories of her life. That's such a cool thing. It's going to be interesting because I'm wondering, you know, think of music if you're a child of the 70s, the 80s, or in the 90s, if you grew up in any of those eras, which I know a lot of us have. and then think of the music of the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. And, you know, the music that she would be familiar with, that she, you know, performs and sings for some of these elderly patients. You know, very, you know, it's kind of soothing. It's you know, it's of the certain era and of a certain style. So I'm thinking music therapist coming up that is probably not even born yet, that would be coming to show us music or play music for us children of the you know, 80s and 90s someday. What on earth is that going to be like? What sort of songs are going to be performed at that point? And here's Tupac. Okay, we have Jimmy over here on the beatbox. And let me welcome everybody to the wild, wild, you know, how is that going to work?
Would you like to hear Getting Jiggy with It again, Grandpa?
Yes, I would. After that, play me some Two Live Crew and Naughty by Nature. Are you down with OPP?
You know, I mean, it's going to be really disturbing. What's going to be considered? Oh, he's listening to that old music again. I don't think I really want to know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories. Online. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, what's up again, guys? This is Dennis from Rosemead, California. Catching up on some EPPs starting from number one. They're awesome. Everybody needs to sign up. Stories are fucking creepy. Amazing. Cool. Get you scared. Anyways, let me get you an update from my grandma's house. I just called like about a few weeks ago and told you how they told us my sister's latest baby's grandma told us that she's like a medium, but she told us there's an older lady that stands in my next to my grandma's bed and watches over them for some reason. Not really watching, but she just stands there next to my grandma's bed for I don't know why. And I even seen her like half asleep. That was what my story was last time. Thanks for playing it again. So here's an update. A few weeks ago, my three-year-old nephew was running around with his little flashlight on his head. It's a little miner's flashlight, the one that goes around your head, you know, looks like a little miner's thing. And it's for kids, and he loves it or whatever. He sees my brother with one, so he wanted one, so we got him one. So this day he was playing around with it, and I was in the kitchen. My parents are in the living room watching TV, and they're connected. And in between the kitchen and the living room, there's a long hallway. And it leads to the beginning of the hallway. There's one room. At the end of the hallway, there's a room to the right, which is my grandma's room, which is our room also. And to the left is my brother's room. So he's over there in his little playpen in the living room with my parents watching TV. And then he starts telling my sister to turn off all the lights because he wants to mess around with his light and run around, shine stuff. So he even made my parents turn off the TV. So it's all dark in the whole house, front of the house, in the hallway. Even my grandma was already in her bed, but she was like, nothing really wakes her up. She was asleep and it's in the dark. So he's over there running around and he's taking my sister, like making her follow him like a little tour guide. And he makes his way down the hallway and I get my phone and I'm gonna record him, put him on Instagram or something like that. You know, my little nephew, blah, blah, blah. So I'm recording him from the kitchen and like you just see a little light and then you see him going down the hallway and my sister's behind him. So they make their way into my grandma's room at the end of the hallway to the right. They go in there and I start following, but I'm a little behind as they go inside. And before I know it, I hear my sister go, "Max!" And she comes running down the hallway, headed my way. And I go, "Well, what happened? What's wrong?" She goes, "Oh my God, Max. You know what he just freaking said?" And so I'll tell you what happened. So as they walked in, my three-year-old nephew with his little flashlight, it's dark in the room. My grandma, she's right there. She's asleep, snoring, passed out. And he goes into the little area next to her. And he goes, "Right here. She's right here. The old lady. They killed her. She's right here." And that's when my sister said, "Max," and bolted out running down the hallway. So he comes back out and he's one of those kids that you could ask him something and he'll repeat it again. So I grabbed my phone. I started recording him. I was like, "Max, tell me what happened." So he takes me to the little St. Mary. He goes, right here. "She's right here. The old lady that they killed her." But he's saying this in Spanish, so I'm just translating it. But basically said the same thing. I'm like, "What the hell?" And I caught him saying that on video. He's like, "Yeah, right here. They killed her." So then after he said that the first time and I'm recording, he goes to the other side of the room. And he goes, "She's right here, right now, right here. They killed her, I don't know. She's right here." And I was like, "What the hell?" So I don't know if he's sensitive or something, or maybe because his age, he could see stuff. I have no clue. If anything, the newest baby for my sister, he might be a little sensitive because his grandma's the one that's sensitive and told us about that lady in that room. So I don't know, maybe he's picking it up a little. Because also, my mom was on the phone maybe a few months ago, and she was talking to someone, and she happened to mention my uncle, who's dead, and I never met him. She knew him, and I never met none of my uncles. Actually, they're all dead, but this in particular uncle, Achilles, he's dead, and she brought him up for some reason, and my nephew happened to be around there, and he goes, yeah, Achilles, I know him. He's right here. Or he says something like that, like he was around, or he knew him. So my mom was like, what the hell? She heard him while talking to whoever she's talking to. She heard him say that. So after she hung up, she goes and gets him. She goes, hey, what do you mean? You know who? She goes, Achilles. Like, he's saying his name, but not like all chopped up or whatever. And she goes, she's just thinking, okay, that's weird. So then she goes and grabs a photo album that he's in. She goes, come here. And he goes over there, and then she goes, do you know anybody? He goes, oh yeah, right here. He points him out like with the quickness, and she's just like shocked. And this is my mom. She knows my sister gets scared easily, which is a 3-year-old. My nephew's mom or whatever. So she calls my sister. She goes, look what he said. And after he pointed him out again, my sister was like, her jaw dropped and she was like freaked out. She's like, she's just shaking her head. Anyways, I just wanted to give you a call about an update about that house. And I'm pretty sure more crap's gonna happen. It's been happening all our lives. And I'm actually here at work right now. I work the graveyard shift. I love listening to you guys right here. And you guys like make my night go by fast. I get creeped out. I actually got a ghost story from in here. I think it's a ghost story from here, but it brought me to tears. So I got to call in another time with that one. All right, guys, take care. Everybody become EPP. It's awesome. The stories are awesome. You'll love it. You won't regret it. All right. Take care.
Thank you for sharing your experiences with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Really do appreciate that. Very, very good ones there. 855-853-4802 is our number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories, your experiences over to us. Sometimes it's just interesting just how kind of therapeutic it can be to get some of this stuff off one's mind or off one's chest, if you will, to a group that understands it, not judging of it. We're just all kind of here in the same boat. Interesting stuff. I want to share a couple of interesting, funny Facebook things that I saw that were sent into us recently. I really like this. It's an idea for a lamp. You know how it's repurposing, and repurposing obviously kind of a big thing right now. People taking old objects and using them for new things. Oftentimes you have coffee tables turned into things. Or objects turn into coffee tables, I should say. Here's one, lamps. You have a lot of lamps that are made out of objects that otherwise may not have been a lamp. And you may have seen this one, but it's great. You take an old doll head and you put it on some sort of a stand, maybe an old ashtray or something of that nature. Drill in through the bottom of the old ashtray. And then on top of that, you have the doll head with the eyes and mouth removed. So it's just holes, and you put a little lamp on the inside, and it's creepy as hell. And you light that thing up, you turn it on. They're just using a regular bulb in there, and it looks like a little creepy doll head with glowing eyes. You could do, I'm sure, red eyes. I know they sell light bulbs now that are sensitive to sound, so it could be even creepier. It starts actually like changing eye color or lightness and darkness with sound, and that's a great way to freak somebody out. I love that. So thank you. A couple of people have sent that into us, so thank you for that. Another one of our listeners, Eric, sending us some pictures from his ventures out to Amityville and the Warrens, and I'd love to hear his story. I believe he called in recently, so interested to hearing that adventure that he went on, talking with Lorraine Warren and her son. And here's another one, Siobhan sent into us. This is just a picture from a survey that someone was taking online. Sometimes you get the, can you please, hold, take the survey after this? And, here's a question. Have you ever been in an accident that resulted in your death? Yes or no? Makes you wonder, did the person who wrote that question, is that like a catch-all to, is the person paying attention to the survey? Or was the person who wrote the question not paying attention to writing questions for a survey. It's one of the two. I'm almost probably leaning towards the latter. Let's go over to the phones and listen to another real ghost story. Let's go to Holly in California. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Holly from sunny Southern California. And first of all, I just want to give a shout out to Edwin. And I'm pretty sure Edwin is in Hesperia, California. In a recent episode, Tony, you had read a story and you said Hesperia. And I laughed so much because I'm pretty sure it's Hesperia. And it could have been a typo or just a simple mispronunciation. It made me laugh anyway. Anyway, what's up, Edwin? I was just wanting to share an experience. And this isn't necessarily a paranormal experience. However, it is something that comes up a lot on your podcast. It has to do with sleep paralysis and also a little bit possibly with astral projection. And basically when I was younger, I used to have sleep paralysis a lot. Now when I had it, most of the time, it was the very simple sleep paralysis where it was just, you know, it'd be kind of like in between waking and dreaming and I wouldn't be able to move. Which, in and of itself, really unpleasant experience. However, I never remember having any kind of, I hear all these stories and it's always, oh, something was sitting on my chest or felt like I was being pushed down or crushed or, or hearing things, or seeing things. Never any of that. However, sometimes I'd be kind of in this state and I would feel like I was floating. Actually, rather than being pushed down, I would float up. And sometimes it just kind of felt like I was floating above the bed. But occasionally, I would float all the way up to the ceiling, and I could look down and see myself. Now, at the time, it's totally freaked me out because I didn't know what was going on. And I'd never heard of such a thing, and I didn't know what was happening, and it just was scary. So I would just concentrate on, you know, wanting to be, you know, back in my body and be awake until it happened. Now, of course, you know, as I got older, I read about out-of-body experiences and now, you know, astral projection. And I wonder if it was related to that, and I'm wondering if anybody else has had any experience with that. Sometimes I toy with the idea of trying to astral project. I don't really know how to do it. I haven't looked into it, but I know some people have said that it's dangerous, but I'm not exactly sure where the danger is in it. I guess you can encounter negative entities when you astral project, just like you can, you know, when you go to Starbucks. So I don't know. I don't know if it's really dangerous or not, but I would be interested in hearing if anybody else has had that kind of experience, because that's not something that I hear hardly ever. And speaking of sleep paralysis, I don't know if it's thanks to your show, but I hadn't had an episode of sleep paralysis in years, since real, real early 20s is the last time I remember. But the other day, I had an episode of sleep paralysis, and I didn't see anything, but I felt things and I heard things. I was laying in my bed, and I heard someone coming up the stairs. My daughter was sleeping downstairs in my sister's room, and I was upstairs in my room. And I heard something, you know, door open, close, someone come up the stairs, door open, I didn't hear it close, the door open, and then I felt my legs kind of like, it felt like they were being pulled, but, you know, basically like they were falling off the bed. And it was weird because I thought, oh, my daughter's coming upstairs. And then I thought, oh, my legs are falling off the bed. And then I tried to put my legs back on the bed, and I realized, no, I can't move. And I was like, oh, this must be sleep paralysis. So it was kind of weird because I wasn't scared at all. And I didn't feel, I don't know, I didn't feel bad about it or anything. I was just kind of like, oh, this is happening. Okay, that's interesting. And that was kind of the first time, because when I was younger and I experienced these things, it really freaked me out. I didn't like it at all. But I think maybe listening to your show has made me more comfortable with it, so it doesn't scare me. I don't know. Anyway, I really love your show. I've been listening for a while. I am listening to all the old shows in order, and I think I'm only up to September 2014 on the old shows, but I listen to the new ones as they come out as well. I do have a story, or an experience, I should say, that I keep going back and forth about sharing, and the reason is I actually had written the story in to a different podcast. I know. It was before I knew about your podcast, okay? I listened to a different paranormal podcast and I had written this story in. But I don't know. I think I have actually heard some of the stories on your podcast that I've heard on other paranormal podcasts. So, you know, and there might be other people that haven't heard my story that might find it interesting, so I'll probably send it in eventually. But in the meantime, I love what you do. You guys are really unique in what you do. Tony, you're hilarious, and Jenny, you have great insights. And I really enjoy everyone that calls in and writes in, and your stories, and some of the personalities, and it's just so much fun and very welcoming and accepting, and I love that. So keep up the great work, you guys, and I will probably talk to you later, okay? Bye.
Thank you for sending in your story via your mobile device. Greatly appreciate that. Love that audio quality when we get them like that. You can, of course, do that too. Just email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. About the astral projection thing, as far as why to or not do that, you know, there's a lot of people that have very mixed opinions on this. Some are just don't ever do it whatsoever. Some are don't do it unless you have a great understanding of what you are doing. We've had stories from people who just kind of started messing around with that, not really knowing exactly what they were doing, and ended up bringing some things not so welcoming back with them. There's people who are concerned that you may not get back yourself. When coming back with the astral projection thing, there are resources out there, of course, on the subject as far as trying to learn how to do it. But that's very much a personal call. Something I don't think I personally would ever try and dabble in or try and mess around with. And it seems that there could be too much that could possibly go wrong. It's kind of how I feel about Ouija boards. You know, are there correct practices of doing that minimize your chances of wrong things happening? Sure. Is there ever a complete eliminate all chances of something unwanted happening? No. So that's really a personal call, but very creepy. Thank you for that, and we would love to hear more of your stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to this caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello, my name is Quetzal. I'm from North Texas, and I just wanted to share something that happened to me when I was a child, something that was really difficult for me, and sometimes I wonder if it was precipitated by or maybe it's somehow affected by the fact that my parents were divorced when I was 5, and I took it pretty hard. My father disappeared from the picture, or disappeared himself from the picture after the divorce. Not so much, I mean, we would still see him occasionally, but then my mother decided to move us to a different city when I was a couple years after they divorced, when I was about 7. So when that happened, it was extremely devastating for me because I had already lost my dad for the most part. I hardly ever got to see him, but I knew that if we lived 4 hours away from him, that I would probably never see him anymore. So it was hard for me because I was very attached to him. I was a daddy's girl. I was the oldest, so he I guess doted on me a lot because I was his first baby. And we were extremely close, but somehow, and I never understood this as a child and even as an adult, of course, now that I have my own children, how it was that he was able to actually leave and not keep in contact with us. There were three of us. I had my sister and my brother. So it was unbelievable that that happened. So I'm dealing with that and then dealing with my mother bringing us to a different city. And I was not a happy child. And I missed my father, and I made my mother suffer because I would cry for him a lot. And she, it would just, things happened in the relationship that made her really dislike him. And so seeing me cry for him was like a double whammy for her. You know, she felt that I should be loyal to her because she was my mother. And there I was crying for my father because I missed him. And she just felt that I was basically being a traitor to her. So we came to the new city, and we went to live with my aunt for a couple of months until my mother could find a place to live. So she found a place. It was a little house, a little two-bedroom house, and we started living there. Well, as soon as we started living there, I began to have night terrors, extreme night terrors. I've heard of children, you know, having nightmares and things like that. They call them night terrors. These were actual out over the top events that would happen at night to me. I had never been a child that was afraid of the dark or that would have any kind of crazy imaginings. Or a wild imagination or anything like that. I'd never had these things before. And when we started living in this house, I began to have really terrible nightmares. I began to be afraid of the dark. There was one night that I woke up from a terrible nightmare. And I felt a hand pressing down on my chest, and I could feel the hand and I could feel the fingers. It was a really big hand, and it was pushing me into the bed. Like I was getting put, I felt the mattress giving under me, because I was under so much pressure and I couldn't breathe, and I was frozen. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't wake up my sister, who was laying next to me asleep. She didn't wake up, and I was just being smothered. I didn't know how long it was going to last. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I was a 7-year-old kid that never experienced anything like this in the past. So it was not something I was prepared for. And finally, after I don't know how long it took, but it finally let me go, and I was able to finally move and breathe again. And I was terrified. I was terrified. It would have been not fine, but it would have been okay if that would have been it. And I hadn't had to go through anything like that again, but it was starting to happen to me almost every night. Every other night, I was getting these things happening to me. There were other nights where I would wake up and I would be getting lifted up off my bed and thrown back down. And I remember feeling, I mean, I wouldn't see him at this particular time when I was getting lifted up and getting thrown down, you know, I would feel that feeling in the pit of my stomach, you know, that you feel when you fall from a height, you know, you get that sick feeling in your stomach. And that's what happened to me. And I remember feeling like I was being surrounded by a lot of things. I didn't know what they were. You could call them creatures. I don't know, but I couldn't really see them with my eyes. I could just feel them and almost picture them, but I couldn't really see them. I just felt like there was chaos everywhere when this was happening to me, and just completely terrified. I mean, I was just a little kid. I didn't know what this stuff was, and I'd never heard of demons. I'd never heard of, you know, evil spirits or anything like that. So it was crazy. I would finally come out of it. You know, they would stop messing with me, and I would get up off my bed and run to my mom's room and cry. I would just be so, so scared and crying and begging my mom, you know, mommy, you know, I want to stay with you. I'm so scared. You know, I don't want to stay in my room. These things are happening to me and I don't know what to do. And I'm terrified. And she would just say that I was having bad dreams and that I needed to stop crying and go back to bed. And she had to work in the morning. So the typical worries of an adult. And she didn't believe me. She didn't think I was really going through anything real. She just wanted to get her sleep. And I don't blame her. She had to work. But as a kid, you know, you would expect your parents to try to protect you. Or comfort you, or, you know, do something to alleviate the situation. But she just was not present. She was just not helping me. And I would, and she was getting so frustrated that almost every night I was, you know, begging her to help me and crying and upset, and that she started locking her door. So I would be so scared to go back to my bedroom that I would just sleep at her door, and she'd wake up in the morning, open her door, and I would be asleep right there. She would practically trip over me, and she'd get so upset with me. She thought I was just being an overdramatic kid. I guess what you would call a crybaby. But she didn't know what was going on, and she wasn't in the right mind herself to really be there and try to help me. So I was on my own, and this went on, these same episodes, nightmares. I'd wake up, I'd feel these things grabbing me, I'd feel these things lifting me up off the bed and throwing me down. I would try to wrap myself up in my blanket so that I could, you know, because sometimes I would get grabbed from under the, I would feel like things were coming out from under my bed and grabbing my feet, grabbing my hands. So I would wrap myself up like a burrito trying to protect myself, but nothing ever helped. And I would be, you know, I would try to keep myself awake to not have these nightmares. But then even when I would be awake, I would, as soon as I would close my eyes, I wouldn't even be asleep. I would just close my eyes for a moment and things would start coming at me. I'd start actually seeing things, but I had to close my eyes to see them. And it would be things that looked like monsters to me. At the time, I just thought they were monsters, but I think about it now and I'm like, those were demonic looking things. You know, they looked like demons. I didn't know what demons were when I was a kid. I'd never heard of them. So it was, I was traumatized. I was sleep deprived. I was cranky. I didn't get along with my mother because I felt that she wasn't protecting me. I felt that she didn't believe me. She didn't, love me. You know, she didn't care to help me. And so, we didn't get along. And it was tough. I mean, I went through that from the time I was 7 years old till I was 12. When I turned 12, I started noticing that I wasn't having nightmares anymore. I wasn't scared of the dark anymore. I could actually go to the restroom at night without being terrified that something was going to get me. I no longer had attacks, and nothing would attack me at night anymore. It just abruptly stopped, and it never happened again. So I always, you know, look back at that time in my life, and I'm surprised that I didn't come out of it with some kind of mental or emotional disorder. I survived intact. I'm just grateful for that because I don't even know how I made it through. I don't know how I endured it and was able to get through it. But I'm glad I did. And that I wasn't scarred for life because of it. But I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on this that happened, and let me know what you think. I mean, there are so many things I would imagine that somebody would say would have been the cause of it. But I tend to think it was something in that house. I can't explain why it abruptly stopped when I was 12. Because we did move a while after that. I was still about 12 years old when we moved, but it stopped before we moved. So I don't know what changed, you know, what happened. So, but thank goodness it ended, and, you know, I survived it. So tell me what you think. Thanks so much. I know it took a long time. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in or sharing your story via your phone and sharing the audio file with us. We greatly appreciate that. What do I think on this topic? It's something where I think you were in such a vulnerable place, probably a dark place, a sad place, dealing with your father not being there and feeling the trauma of that, you know, the abandonment feeling and dealing with and trying to process all of that. It puts you at a very vulnerable place. And as we've seen so many times on this show and heard so many times on this show, things like that, situations like that tend to lead into then the world of paranormal entering the picture. And unfortunately, it gets all too real for folks like yourself who have that happen. And then the outside world who you're sharing this with and these events with, it gets dismissed like, oh, you know, she's really troubled, going through a lot of difficult stuff right now, you know, doesn't see her dad much. And they start trying to rationalize it as if it's just all in your head, you know. And that's not to say that in some cases, you know, there could be issues going on psychologically. But I think many cases it's well beyond that. It's things like this that really do occur. So I think a lot of it, you were targeted by whatever the hell it was, whether it was in the house or whether it was just something passing by and found a great host to attach itself to. That's, I think, initially why a lot of it started, because of the trauma that was going on in your life and just the craziness that you were dealing with. Why it all stopped when you were 12, I don't know. Maybe something changed within you. Maybe something changed. I mean, maybe you should look back at that a little bit more. Maybe there was something more to that as far as why it suddenly stopped. And maybe there's nothing there at all. Maybe it just moved on. Maybe it wasn't all that strong of an entity, and it felt that its time was up. It had done its work there, and then it was time to go on. I don't think we'll ever really know the answer to that. But examine your life a little bit more around that time and see what else was going on. Did anything change for you spiritually, mentally, emotionally? You know, those sort of things can sometimes lead to some epiphanies, if you will, as far as answering some of those questions. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for sharing your stories with us. Greatly appreciate that. Appreciate it even more if you become an EPP and help keep our show on the air by becoming an EPP on our website. Ghostpodcast.com is where you go to do that. Click Become an EPP. Check it out. You can see all the stories we have up there. But 90 EPP bonus episodes ready for you to download away and binge away on, exclusive video content and more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this show fueled and alive. Without our EPPs, it could not go on. It's only $5 a month. Get all that bonus episode content. You can't go wrong there. Check that out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.